Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Welcome to tonight's show. I am one of your hosts, Tanisha. Your other host will be with us shortly, which is Terrence. And today is November 1st, 2023, 7:10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you so much for tuning in to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. Very excited to be here. Exciting times. God is really moving. God is really speaking. And this year is wrapping up. We're already in November. It seems like it just turned October, and now it's already November. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the close of this year because, as I've said many times on the show before, the theme for this year that God gave me was that 2023 equals God restoring, breakthroughs, and exposure. So been seeing it, honestly, this year, like really have been seeing it. And I believe that we're going to see more of it as this year closes out and we start to move into 2024, because we're closer to 2024 now than ever. We've got a couple months. So let's make the best of this year. Let's make sure that we are in our word. Let's make sure that we are in prayer, not those quick drive-by prayers, which those are cool too. But I'm saying, like, let's have some deep, meaningful prayers. Let's be listening and hearing, God, what are you telling me? What direction are you taking me in? Randy has really just been on fire, and he had a show, I believe it was Tuesday's show, maybe it was Monday's, but he was really talking about how sometimes, you know, things don't go according to what you think it's going to go. And you can sometimes that breeds disappointment in God, but you have to just trust God to do what he said he's going to do, how he's going to do it, because the way we do it is not going to be the best way, because we're not all knowing. We don't see what's going on with people's hearts. We don't know what people's motives are. We don't know what's going to truly help people. We only experience people, but we don't have the knowledge that God has, knowing them from the time he knit them in their mother's womb up until the time that you're dealing with them. You know, so God knows everything. He knows what's best for everything, and we have to trust God. We have to know that when he's fighting our battles and he's handling things for us, he's doing it in a way that's best for all parties involved. But tonight I want to talk about the scripture of the day for the Bible app. It really, really struck a chord in me when I read it. It is Proverbs 11:25. I'm going to read it first out of the Amplified. The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown. And let's compare it to some other versions. So let's go here. Give me a minute. So NIV reads, again, this is Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Does that sound familiar at all? People reap what they sow. And so this is basically letting us know that without saying that you reap what you sow, and it's focusing on person who's generous, right? A person who refreshes. Because another version says, let's read it out of the, let's see. For some reason, I don't have the King James downloaded on my app anymore, and I can't even seem to put it on there. Let's see. I'm able to do, can I do New King James? Let me see. I'm going to have to just start having my, there's New King James. Okay, so New King James reads, again, Proverbs 11:25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You know, despite what's going on in our lives, we have to still be generous, and we have to still be willing to water people, right? Because I see a lot online where people just talk about how rotten people are, how terrible people are. For example, I'm on the Nextdoor app. And for those who don't know, it's like an app that you can sign up for, and it's just like people in your neighborhood. So it helps you stay aware of like crime or community events, things like that. Well, with it being Halloween yesterday, there were a lot of posts today about people who weren't able to pass out candy, so they left like bowls outside their home, which never the best idea, but hey, I get it. Some people still want to participate in some way. And while people, you know, kids, they're kids, you know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. They see these big bowls filled with candy, and there's nobody around, so they think, you know, everybody's got doorbell cameras now, but, you know, kids aren't thinking like that. They dump the whole bowl in their bag. Well, there was like post after post after post after post after post after post of people saying, hey, raise your kids better, and posting the videos of their Ring and Vivid cameras and all these different companies, ADT and stuff, of these kids dumping candy in their bowls. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, And then you read the comments and people are like, this is why the world is so messed up and blah, blah, blah. These kids are just so rotten and it's the parents' fault and they condone bad behavior. I mean, it was just a big bowl of negativity. Well, somebody made a post and it was a kid walking up and there was no candy in their bowl because 10 minutes prior, apparently, a kid had dumped off all the candy in their bowl. And so the kid, they have a sign that says smile, you're on camera. So the kid reads the sign. They're like, so smile, you're on camera. And the kid says, you know, what's up? And then they're like, you know what? I'm going to give you some candy because they saw the bowl was empty. So the kid starts taking candy out of their own little bucket to fill the bowl back up because there was no candy in the bowl. And it was just the sweetest thing. And the comments, people are like, see, there's still hope. You know, there's still good people out there. There's still people raising. It got like 290-something comments. But this is why we have to continue to water people because everything's not bad. If somebody would have just came on there, let's say it was their first day on Nextdoor, all they would have said was those negative ones about how rotten kids are, the thieves, parents suck, and all these other things. Then people start to take attitude like, why even pour into people? Because people just suck. You know, it's from the kids to the parents. Where you got this one kid that said, you know what, I'm going to put some candy in the bowl. That's what you got to be. You got to be like that one kid. That one kid, people were talking about starting, you know, GoFundMes and trying to find this kid to give him his favorite candy. And now they're trying to put together funds to buy this kid a new bike because I guess his grandma and mom found out about the post and all this stuff. When you do good and you water, it creates like it creates like a chain reaction. It inspires people. It warms people. People now more than ever need to be watered with the right things. They need to be watered with the word. They need to be watered with hope. I'm part of several dads' rights groups because I am a dadvocate. I'm for dads having equal rights. They're good dads. With their children, because I saw how the courts, you know, do dads, good dads, you know. Except one day we'll do a show and we'll talk about Terrence's journey with the court system with his own children. But there was this dad on one of the pages I'm part of, and he was really, you know, having a tough time and talking about alienation and how it just destroys children and there's no hope because then they become messed up adults and all this stuff. And so I watered them and told them, you know, you got to put your faith and your hope in God. And I was expecting him to rip me to shreds because some people do, you know, I come on with my positivity. I come on speaking the truth, right? Some people look at it like, oh, she's just trying to be positive. No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm giving you the word because the word is good news. You come in with the bad news. You come in with the way the world responds and the way the world is, and the world is wicked. But the good news is that Jesus died and Jesus overcame the world, so you can too. So that's the type of energy I bring. But he really was hopeful. We had dialogue, and by the end of it, you know, he was his whole attitude had changed. We have to water people. We really do. We have to water people. He who waters will also be watered himself, because guess what? You're going to have a dry period in your life. You might have a dry moment. It might just be a dry 5 minutes where somebody needs to water you, and you will reap that. So we need to be generous. And it says here, you'll be made rich. Now, everybody always thinks generosity is financial. Can you be financially generous? Absolutely. But there's other ways that you can be generous. You know, give in abundance where you feel led to give in abundance. For some people, it's going to be your time. For some people, it's going to be a listening ear. For some people, it's going to be, you know, being a friend to a person. You could be a friend to a person who's not a friend to you. Let that drop in your spirit. You can be a friend to a person who is not a friend to you. I have experienced that, where I had a person that I was dealing with, and they had a lot of stuff going on, a lot. And God positioned me to really like befriend them. And I knew that they weren't in the capacity to really be my friend because just, you know, the mentality and things that were going on and stuff. But I remember trying to get away from this person and God telling me no. And so I talked to parents about it too and told them how it was kind of draining me. And Terrence did not know about the conversation that I had with God, and God Because God had told me, I've called you to be this person's friend. And so when I told Terrence about just how I was feeling in general, I didn't tell Terrence about the prayer or the conversation. He was like, I really feel like God is calling you to be this person's friend. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. And then I even had Randy pray for this person. This is several years ago. But and even in the prayer, Randy was like, God's called you to be a friend and an example. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I showed generosity in that area, a friendship, being there, of, you know, being a sounding board, providing wisdom, this, that, and like just all sorts of things. But this person was not a friend to me, but I was a friend to this person. There were several incidents and things that have popped up that weren't things that friends do, because you have to know, you know, what people are and what they are not, because a lot of the times we will give somebody a label and then we give them an expectation of that label, right? They'll say, oh, I thought this person was my friend. Why did you think that? Because you gave them the label of friend, but that doesn't mean that they were qualified for the label in the first place. So I knew going in that this person was not a friend to me. Now, they were trying to be, but everybody doesn't know how to be a friend. But I knew that I was called to be a friend to that person. So even when things came up that were things friends wouldn't do, I didn't take offense. I noticed it because mama didn't raise no fool. But I wasn't surprised, because I'm like, okay, this person is truly not my friend. Really, it's not for me to get out of it. It's for me to give. I'm giving. I'm being generous with myself to this person, to show them and to be an example of what a friend is, because this person obviously did not know that, because in their mind, I was their friend, but they were doing things that friends would not do. So I was just showing an example of friendship, an example of love, right? A person who just loves you unconditionally, despite what you do or don't do, or how you behave or don't behave. And God used me in that capacity. So again, just generosity doesn't always have to be financial. You might just have to be generous with your time, you know, with people who might get on your nerves. There might be a neighbor who just be a chatterbox, be talking your ear off, and you don't want to talk to them, but they really need somebody to talk to. And maybe God will make you generous with your ears to just lend an ear to them, you know, and provide some input here and there. You know, there's so many ways that you can be generous, but people more than ever, they need that light. They need the word. They need the truth. Because everywhere you look, it's just number lies out here. That's what the world offers. And the world don't offer no truth. There was a time where there was a lot of morality in the world. At least that's what they tried to portray, right? Because there's nothing new under the sun. But people were more moral. So their actions and their mentalities lined up more so like a believer, whether they were a believer or not. But now it's like, you know, no holds barred. They're just letting it all hang out. So it's just a lot of wickedness and darkness and evil and just profane things, disgusting things. I mean, it's just all hanging out. Nobody's trying to tuck it in anymore. Nobody's trying to, you know, pretend. Even what's glorified, you know, is just really disturbing. So people more than ever need to hear the truth. They need you to be generous with the word. They need you to be generous in whatever way God is calling you to be generous. And guess what? You'll be made rich in those areas. Like while I was being a friend to this particular person and you know, honestly, it was draining. It really was draining me. But God was making me rich in that area, in the area of friendship. Because really, God was being a friend to me and making Terrence and I's friendship even stronger. So I was reaping what I was sowing. And when you water, you'll be watered. And in hindsight, while I was being a friend to this person and watering this person, it was during a time that a lot of stuff was going on. A lot of stuff that things that I was not sharing with a lot of people, right? Because sometimes you have to be guarded with your information and be mindful of who you share that information with. And so during that time, there was a lot of stuff going on and I was not sharing that with people. It was things that, you know, if you just were a party to it, you were privy, or, you know, like my sister knew, Terrence, of course, knew, but a lot of people did not know. And so when you're going through a lot, and especially when it's more than one thing at a time, right, it can be very draining. It could dry you out. And here I was pouring and watering somebody, and God was in turn pouring and watering me. Even this ministry was pouring and watering me. It didn't matter who show I called into. I was being watered every time. It was every single time when I was feeling like, oh my gosh, like this is just life is lifing and I don't like it, you know. But every time God poured into me, every time, like no misses. So all that to say, be generous, because again, the word says, we can have the Amplified again. Let me go back. Proverbs 11:25, the generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown. Reaping what you sow is proof. It's not all just bad stuff. If you always hear people say that somebody does something and then, well, I don't care if people reap what they sow, which is true. People do reap what they sow. But know that that applies to the good too. It's not just the bad. You know, everything you do for others, you're sowing a seed, and it's going to come back. And more than ever now, people need that. They need to be watered. They need you to be generous in ways that you're called to be generous. And it's not in vain. It's not a waste, because you're going to, it says the generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched, period. It doesn't say only for the right people. It doesn't. No, if you're generous and a blessing, you're going to be prosperous and enriched. So today I met Terrence's chiropractor. And when I tell you that this man could not stop singing praises to Terrence, he was saying how he has grown spiritually since Terrence has been his patient. Because wherever Terrence goes, he pours into people, period. If Terrence is around you for enough time, you're going to get ministered to or prophesied over. It could be the grocery store, the vet, you know, him walking to the mailbox, talking to a neighbor. It don't matter. You're going to get preached to or prophesied over. But he went on and on about how his life has literally changed since meeting Terrence and how he just is a ray of sunshine. That's what his words, not mine. He called him a ray of sunshine and said that they were always so excited when Terrence came in, that he just really would look forward to Terrence coming in. So this is the type of people that we need to be. We need to be generous with people. Give of you. You're a blessing. Everybody listening to my voice, you are a blessing. You were made to be a blessing, right? Sometimes you go through phases of your life where you ain't blessing nobody. Only because you're going through your own stuff, but you're made to be a blessing. You're created to be a blessing. Do you understand that? That's what you was created to do. We all have our own individual calls and gifts and all that kind of stuff, but collectively and individually, no matter what you were called to do, whether you're called to cook, watch kids, you know, deal with the elderly, prophesy, lay hands. It don't matter. You were created to be a blessing. You are walking, talking, breathing blessing. Everybody always thinks blessing is money. Oh, I'm blessed because I got money. They blessed because you around. They blessed because you woke up today. They blessed because you in their presence. They blessed because you're their coworker. They're blessed because you're their neighbor. Because you're their kid's teacher. And so on and so forth. You are a blessing. So bless people. Be generous with you. Water people. People are dry. You know, we're just plants. We're made from the dirt. You ever had a garden and didn't water your plant? The plant looked petrified. Plant looked a fright. I know I got tomatoes, and, you know, I tell Terrence, I've been watering them every day. The lies. Tomatoes started looking dried up and shriveled up. there like, have you been watering these tomatoes every day? You know, people ask a question knowing that they already know the answer, the proof already in the pudding, but they just want to see what you're going to say. And I was like, I might have skipped a day or eight. You know what I mean? But the tomatoes towed off on me. I didn't need to answer because them tomatoes was just dry and fried looking. And Terrence like, you know, I'm going to take over. And he did. They started looking good. Now they've got little tomatoes on them, even though our weather flip-flopping, so hopefully it don't tear up my tomatoes. But if you've ever had a garden, if you don't water it, things start to shrivel up. They don't, they can't even function. They can't produce, right? When you have a plant, all plants produce something, right? Whether it be fruit or a vegetable or a flower or a type of leaf, that they produce something. There's some proof of their health and growth to let you know that this is thriving. Every plant doesn't have to just, oh, I can't eat that plant. It don't have to be something you eat. Some plants, you know, they're just good for the soil, or they attract certain bugs, which are good for the, you know, the ecosystem. But all plants have some sort of, some proof of that they're thriving. But it doesn't matter what type of plant it is and what the proof that they're thriving is, all of them look the same if they're not being watered. They all look dry and crusty and dead, every last one of them. It doesn't matter if it's a tomato plant or a, you know, a carnation bush or a flower bush or whatever. They all gonna start to, death looks the same on all of them. Drying and thirsty and dried out look the same for all of them. So they all need water to thrive, and they all need water to grow. And people are no different. Some of these people are walking around trying to get it figured out. They dry and crusty because they don't have no word in them. They feel with the ways of the world, with their proverbs, not our proverbs from the book of Proverbs, not them Solomon written ones. They got the great grandpa written ones that they basing how they move on. They dry and crusty. Their lives are dry. They're not thriving. They're trying to figure it out. Oh, if I just go back to school, if I just get around rich people, if I just move to this neighborhood. No, it's because you don't have no real water. Drinking the water of the world is like drinking out of a swamp. Have you ever seen a swamp? I have in person. It stink. It's not pretty. I wouldn't drink from no swamp. A person trying to thrive getting the water of the world is like drinking sewage water that's contaminated, not that treated kind, the contaminated kind. All you drinking is funk and disease and stench and no telling what and whatever anybody flush, it's all in there. It's just like horrible gumbo. You don't know what's in there, but none of it's good. And wondering, why am I not thriving? You drink sewage water for a week and see what happens. You're going to die. We'll be knocking on death's door. And that's what a lot of people are. They're dying in areas. They're dying in life. They're not thriving because they're not getting the right water. The water ain't clean. Give them the word, that's clean water. That's fresh water. It's living water. They're going to thrive. So we need to be going to the well of the word and giving these people the water that they need. Now, you can't make them drink it, but you need to give it. Let's pray, and then let's start answering callers. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for another night and another opportunity to come together, to love on one another, to speak your word, to hear your voice, to get guidance and direction and encouragement and strength. We just love and honor you, Father God. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, let us be generous of ourselves. Let us be generous in the blessings that you have given us and the gifts that you have given us in the time that you have given us. Let us water. Let us plant. Let us plant where you or grow where you've planted us. And all the people who are plants around us, let us water them. And we will in turn be watered. We'll grow and we'll thrive, and because we're being watered. But let us water people. People are hurting and they're confused and they're dry and they're crusty and they don't know what's going on. They're lost. They're confused. Let us tell them the truth. All paths of if you want joy and love and peace and all those things, all paths lead to Christ, period. There is no other path except for the one of destruction. I don't care how pretty the roses are on the side of it. If it ain't a path to Christ, it's a path to destruction. Let us teach people that's the answer, that you are the answer, that Jesus is the answer. There is no truth outside of Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So everything else is not the way. It's a lie, and it's death. Let us be bearers of truth. Let us be bearers of light. Let us be bearers of water and give the people what they need. And Lord, give your people what they need tonight. Let Terrence and I decrease and you increase, and use your servants as your mouthpiece to give your people what they need. Let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Our other host has joined in. He's fake snoring, but he's here.
I was resting in the spirit.
He was resting in the spirit. Okay.
That was a good prayer.
Thank you. All right.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, Terrence is here. The ray of light, ray of sunshine. I like that. He was so excited about Terrence. And he's a kind man. Him and his wife have a chiropractic business, and I just pray God bless it and bring all the people and finances they need in Jesus' name. But just a kind man. But he was so excited about Terrence. I said, I get it. He said he just has us laughing. We just be laughing in here. I said, oh, I already know. One thing about Terrence, he's funny. All right, let's start answering callers. Verses 251-342.
Hi, Tenacious. Latrice from Alabama.
Hey, Latrice, can you hear me?
I can.
Awesome.
Hey, Latrice.
Hey.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she can hear you too. All right, well, let's pray for you, Latrice.
Do so.
You want to talk to her? Terrence said he want to talk to you. After we pray. Okay, so I'm going to mute you. We're going to pray, and then Terrence said he want to talk to you. No, I'm not going to hang up. I'm just going to mute her real quick, and then I'll unmute her when we're done. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Latrice, Lord. We thank you for the saints. We thank you for the saints. We thank you for the saints marching on. Huh, that's like a song. Saints. The saints go marching on. That's what I hear, the saints. That you got the saints marching. You typically see marching with like an army, but I see you like leading the saints, you know, leading God's people to march. You know, there's something different about walking and marching. Like marching is so authoritative. Marching is like, we got this. Like there's just a different attitude that you even have when you march. When you study militaries, right, and if you study militaries and you even study psychology, there's a reason why they do some of the things that they do. But certain actions do cause you to take on a certain mentality, which is part of the reason why militaries even have uniforms, because you feel more official when you're in a uniform, which is why, like, some jobs have dress codes. Well, I don't know about now. It seems like nobody does. But back in the days, I know jobs would have dress codes because it was just a fact that was backed up by a psychiatry and psychological science that when you're dressed, when you're dressed nice, you're more professional. You know, you wear sweats and a baggy shirt with a mustard stain in it, you behave different than if you have a suit on and your heels and your pantyhose or whatever, you know, whatever makes you feel professional. There's just a different mentality. And so even with marching, it brings about a certain demeanor and a mentality when you're marching. It's like, you know, you got this. Like, I'm here. You're going to hear me. You know, I'm here. I'm marching. I'm about to win. There's just something that comes along with marching, but I see you marching with the saints. Like you letting the saints know that this battle, we got this. Like, so I hear so many believers even talking defeat talk. When we got this, like it, we can't be basing on what things look like. Like we got this for real. Whatever else is being presented is not what's real. We got this. And I see God really using you to encourage the saints to march on. We got this. We're going to win. You ain't got to sneak in. You ain't got to tiptoe in. Oh, I don't want them to hear me. No, marching is loud. You're going to hear them coming. So you're going to hear. You're going to teach people to, nah, you let your presence be known. I'm not scared of you. You need to be scared of me because I done popped up on the scene and I got the army, the host of angels and stuff behind me. I got the Lord that's fighting my battle, so I ain't got no reason to be tiptoeing in all scary. You need to be scared. If you on the opposite side of right, you can either slide over to this side or you could tremble in fear because it ain't my battle and you ain't gonna win when you on the opposite side of God. If I'm rolling with God, then that's just it. I'm gonna win, period. So Lord, we thank you for Latrice and her teaching the saints how to march, to not be afraid. To not focus on what it looks like, but to focus on the truth of the word. So let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You said what?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. You want me to unmute now?
Yeah.
All right. All right, Latrice, got you unmuted.
Amen. What a word. What a word. And I received it in Jesus' name. It is so, and so it is.
Yeah.
Wow. Hallelujah. Where's Brother Terrence?
Yes.
Speak, Lord.
Yes. I have to hear you. I have to hear you because it was like an extra strength. Had to hear where your battery meter was.
Come on now, come on.
It's like you, the Lord has fully charged you. Like, it's
what
like
you
when
say?
You when you use like your, we got a remote that doesn't have batteries. It just needs the sun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not turned over and facing the light, it doesn't charge.
Correct.
And so it'll let us know on the TV that the battery is low. And so it doesn't need much light. It just needs some light.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the battery begins to charge. And that's what I sense what God is doing with you. You're really helping people. Really showing people, because a lot of people have been stressed trying to be perfect in the eyes of man.
Right.
And really, really, really running empty because they're trying to have lifestyles and things that match up to the persona that gives the look. Because a remote is useless without the charge.
Right.
I mean, the remote looked good. I mean, it worked. I mean, it fits the mold. The button's in the right place. The mold is right. Ain't no cracks in it. None of it. But the inside is not charged.
Come on.
The source is not charged, so it can't work. It's just useless. It's just part of the decor at that point, and I see God really using you to wake those people up that's just been sitting in the church for many, many, many years. They've just been sitting
yes,
there,
sir.
And they've become a part of the decor. They've become a part of how the service is run, and they just got used to how things have been done traditionally. But it's time for them to meet Jesus. It's that they've been hearing about him all these years. It's just like the remote been sitting there all this time, and all it needed was to be turned over. It's been where it's supposed. All it needs is to be turned over so the sun can hit the solar pack that's on the back. And that's what people have to do. They got to turn their lives over.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Truly turn their lives over to God, to Christ, so that he can charge them. He can activate them. And that's what I see him doing, like walking through the church, touching people, turn over. And every time you touch somebody, the light comes on. Like
thank
people just, and they just a shadow. They're part of the decor. They look the part, but they ain't got they have no life in them. But God is giving you that eye to see people, and to see that they don't have light and they need to be charged and they need to turn over. And so I just thank God for giving you that boldness and really opening you up to really teaching seasoned believers. These are seasoned saints.
Yes, sir.
That are being broken from tradition and that are really going to meet Jesus for the first time like never before. I mean, like, really, like, know who he is, really understanding the scripture. Not just memorizing the scripture and just going off somebody else's testimony or this, that, and other, but really having a solidified encounter with the word. And that's what I see with the seasoned saints, because they're needed during this time. They're needed during this time because that's the foundation. That's the foundation. Because of what things, it's not that God is different.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that. God has us in this place, and what we have to do, we have to learn to shift.
Come on.
Because when a ship has a sail, right, and they need to get to a particular place, they have to shift those sails.
Mm-hmm. Come
to
on.
Get the wind properly hitting those sails to push them in the direction that they have to go. So there are some adjustments that people have to make in their lives in order for God to pull out and open up everything that's in them. The things in them just been lying dormant, and they need to turn it over. They need to turn it over, and really rely on the Spirit of God and not rely on the books that were written by those that came before us in their planning book on how they did things. Because God is doing a thing particularly for this time.
Mm-hmm.
That's specific for this time based on the people that are here right now. Because of the mentalities, God knows how to reach his people. Man has to get out of the way thinking that they know how to reach God's people for him.
You preaching.
Because we've taken the credit for the things that God has done. God reached people a certain way during a particular time, and God gave us the blueprint to do that. But then we've taken it and turned it into business. We've taken it and turned it into like this new way of this way of doing things. This is just what it is. No, the way to do things is the way God says do things. That's why he says, I change not. See, when we stay current with God, he prepares us for the moments he's taking us into, the times that he's taking us into. When we're present with him, he gives us a right now word. He gives us right now instructions, things that's done right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, just like when he gave Moses that word he needed right then at the Red Sea. You know, I haven't had to part now in that way, but I have parted some seeds in my life. I had to cross over some places that seem uncrossable.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Karen.
I have had enemies that have given chase after me, but their attacks have failed. But I've stayed current with God. So God could tell me when to move. He'll tell me what to do. He'll tell me how to do it because he changes not.
Yeah.
So that means to tell me traditions can change. Get out of here. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. The order of service can change.
Come on.
But it says, if I be lifted up, I'll drop. So we ain't, ministries ain't got to worry about how, where they're going to get the money from. How the lights are going to cut on and this, that, and other, because of God put you there. If you saying that God placed you here, and this is what God gave you, you need to let God run it.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
You need to let him teach you how to manage, how to be a good steward over what he's put you over. And that's what I see you doing, because you got people that's connected with people in power. Like, it's certain people that you're going to say things to and share things to, that they're going to have the influence to share. The people that will never hear you, but they're going to hear a person that will hear you, though. You know, and so that's what I see God doing. Keep pressing. Keep pressing, and just continue. Just let God lead. Let God lead, and never doubt. Just don't doubt. Just understand that whatever God is doing, he's doing it, and he has it all in control. We have nothing to worry about. The only thing we need to do is doubt and be disobedient. You don't need to do those two D's.
Come on now.
Those double D's.
You know you have three.
It's doubting and disobedience, you know, because when you doubt leads to disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
God tell you to do something, and then you just say, I don't know. And so you don't do it, because fear comes on you, second guessing, overthinking, anxieties, all these different emotions that rise up in the flesh that Satan uses to keep you from doing what God is telling you to do, which is going to free you up and position you in places that you could never do for yourself. It's just got to trust God. Yeah. And we just thank God for Latrice Lowe. We just thank you for all that you've done for her,
mm-hmm.
Seen and unseen.
Yeah.
We thank you for the support system that she has, a team being built of cleaners, like cleaning, like going through cleaning up, really, really reestablishing order, like Jesus did in Jerusalem. And
come on.
Reestablishing order and putting things in place. I don't know why I'm going on the ministry of the church thing, but that's what I'm seeing. And we just thank God for that being done. And we bind any hindrances, any demonic, any conversations that go on behind your back, any plans of the enemy. We bind it now in the name of Jesus. We hammer. I'm talking sledgehammer the tongue of the naysayers, sledgehammer the tongue of the non-believers, sledgehammer the tongue of the doubters and those that speak fear. Just like when those disciples, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And they talking about the winds and the waves. Does that care that we perish, Lord? I mean, but Jesus ain't talking about no perishing. So keeping the word of the Lord in your mouth, regardless of what you see, just focusing on what Jesus said. And if we focus on what Jesus said, that's what's going to be done. We don't need to change and alter things in our lives, because that's how Satan gets us to alter things in our lives, by getting us to speak from an emotional place and not speaking from the word of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
not speaking, thus says the Lord. We have to say what Jesus said, regardless. It ain't about what we feel, but he's going to do it lovingly, though. And Jesus ain't just walking around slapping folks upside the head about it. He knows everything about you, but he knows everybody's shortcomings and this, that, and other. That's between you and him. But us together, our focus is him, getting everybody to Jesus. Together, we get everybody to Jesus. Jesus works out our issues. Jesus works out our problems. Jesus is the answer, period. And whatever Jesus decides for you to use in your life to assist
in the natural realm to keep you, keep your faith aimed on thus said the Lord, that's when he will open up to you. But everything goes through Christ. Jesus is the answer. I don't care how many series is a pastor puts out in sales for 1999. It does not matter. You know, I don't care how much you've given to a ministry. I don't care how many years you've served on the board. That don't matter. Because if you ain't run your life through Jesus, and if you're not living your life for Christ, you're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You sounding brass and tingling cymbals. And that's what I see you doing in the body of Christ, really waking people up, turning them on, telling them to turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. You got people holding on to their children. They ain't turning them over to Jesus. Turn them over to Jesus. They still holding on to something that happened 20, 30 years ago. Turn it over to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus. That man wasn't yours, no way. You holding up his life and yours. And you don't want to make room for the one God has for you. A lot of people got to hear that. Turn it over to Jesus. Man mad and disappointed. His children been taken away from him and going through all of this. That. Turn it over to Jesus. Because you didn't choose that woman based off of what God told you to do. You chose her because that's what you wanted. So now you learn to turn it over to the Lord. Jesus wants to be first,
mm-hmm.
first. And I see God doing it with you and really showing, let people know what it really means to have God first, putting God first. It ain't about being there every Sunday. It ain't about being at Bible study, in the choir, the usher board, the parking lot ministry, the children's ministry, youth ministry. All of that's good, but that ain't finna get you to heaven. That ain't finna get you saved. That ain't finna deliver you. Jesus does that. Jesus did that. And he wants his credit. During this time, and I just thank God for opening you up to that, and allowing you to flow in there freely, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You done preached already. The things
amen.
That you were teaching, I have just done it, said it, did it in the last 2-3 days. Yes, yesterday, Monday, went to clinical, had an opportunity to minister to I don't know how many people, but they were like, well, I need the student. You need to go in there and do this and make up this bed. And I was like, okay, God. So the doctor came out. He said, go with me. He was going to do a procedure. He said, it's much better than you standing over there making up bed. So I went, got opportunity to minister to I don't know how many families, people. God's just good.
Wow.
Been telling people about the parting of the Red Sea. I never saw in the Bible where it said that he parted it. They had to bring in a cement truck. They had to lay down the pavers. When he parted it, they walked through and it said the water went up on both sides. The
mm-hmm.
way was already made. The people just
made.
Had to get there and do it and don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence, you were all up in it. I'm telling people every day.
Wow.
Had a young lady to tell me, well, I don't see how you live. You never know what your income is. And you never know. And I was like, well, I have a house. And I'm helping her find a house. And I'm saying, well, I have a house. You know, I believe God to pay the bills, but you don't have a house, but you want me to help you.
Right.
Now, Not only do I have a house, now I'm getting ready to have a brand new house without a mortgage. Now, who wouldn't serve a God like this?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling people, pay your tithes and your offering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One is a requirement. You got to do it. You get your blessings, your offering. And every day I'm telling people that this is the way. He is the way, the truth and the light. You talked about having to say something. Terrence, I was on the way to school where it started the night before. God gave me a word for the director of nursing. And I was like, well, okay, God, you want me to tell her what now? I said, well, okay, but I'm like, you know, Terrence, I gave her a word at 8:30 one morning. I pray for her all the time. I say, I've been praying for you.
Uh-huh.
And you have? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, and there is a word from the Lord concerning you. But what did he say? And I told her, I said, you know, you don't have to do this. You can start a consulting firm and do this and charge $60,000 a client. And if you do 4 a year, you made $240,000. She said, Ward, you might be on to something. I said, no, it was God. I didn't have anything to do with it. At 3:45 that evening, she was demoted. She called me. I was like, Lord, Hammer. Every time I turn around, she's calling. I said, you know, it wasn't me. Trust me, it was God. I said, if you notice, whenever you come, I go the other way. Because my ears are, I don't need to hear all of that stuff you're saying. I don't need to hear it in the way that you're saying. And it is written, you reap what you sow. The only way you don't reap it, you don't sow it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now she's like, oh, but Ward. I'm like, every day she calling my name. I'm like, Lord Jesus. So I told him, I said, well, God, he said, I need you to pray for her. I said, well, Lord, you know, I've been praying for a minute. And he told me to continue to pray. So she asked me, what did the Lord say? I said, he told me to continue to pray because I'm like, Lord, you already know she hard-headed, ain't going to listen. But now God has her attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling her, he was there all the time. All you had to do was activate him.
Mm-hmm.
You were an evangelist. And you're telling me that you're not?
Right.
You die out. You don't quit.
Wow.
But Terrence, everything that you're saying, I have just about experienced it in the last 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
Just unfathomable.
Wow.
So God is good. I'm going to let you go, and we're going to pass the collection plate because you done preached, my brother.
Wow. That's good. That's good to know. I needed to hear this. That's why. Why the Lord.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I just told the young lady, I say, you know, the sad thing is, you tell people things, you can prophesy to people. I said they get it. You never know about it. They don't say anything else to you, and be the first one to tear you down. But I decree and declare that it is well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is
way. Thank you. God bless you,
Trish. All right, and I appreciate you guys. I know other folks on there, like, they don't get off their phone. He's good. So I have now entered into the it's working for my good season in my life.
Wow.
I left the though you slay me, yet will I trust you stage. I left the but God stage. I left that, and all these things shall be added. I have entered into the it's working for my good. I don't care what it is, how it looks. I know it's working for my good.
Amen.
Y'all be blessed and have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Nice. That's an awesome word. That's an awesome word from both of y'all.
That's sweet.
Amen. Let's get to our next caller here. 225-454. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen. How are you tonight?
Hey, Karen.
Hey, y'all. I'm good. How are y'all?
Great. Doing well.
Yes, doing good. Let's pray for you.
Let's get it going.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Karen, Lord. We thank you for the word I got was like a cat lady. I like cats. I have a cat. We have a cat. But usually the cat lady, people, when people hear cat lady, right, they think of crazy cat lady. That's always what people say. But what's crazy about loving cats, right? But I see you, and cat ladies, when people are cat ladies, historically, the reason why they get the term crazy cat lady is because they are so extreme and they don't care. They'll talk to you about cats. They just cat everything, cat clothes, cat fur on their clothes, cat bowls, cat, like they love all things cats, and they don't care if you are a cat lover or not. They're going to talk to you about cats, period. That's how they get the term, like, oh, that's a crazy cat lady. She's going to talk to you about cats. And I see you kind of operating like that, not in regards to cats, but in regards to Christ, where some people say, oh, here come Karen talking about Jesus again. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, period. I'm going to talk to you about the Lord. I'm going to represent him. I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to shine his light. I'm going, just like them cat people. You could tell some of them because they have cat fur on them. You know, and so it's like you're going to have indications of Christ on you by the way you walk, the way you move, the way you talk, the things that you do, how you operate. It's going to all be proof and indication like, okay, this lady, she's attached to the Lord. She's attached to Jesus. But you're not going to care what them people say about you because they already know what type of time you are. They already know what you're bringing when you come, who's with you. That you, when you see Karen, you see Christ because he lives in me. This is who guides and represents me. I don't make decisions outside of him. I don't make moves outside of him. So when you see me, you see him because I'm a representation of him. I'm here to represent him in this earth. I'm here to spread his gospel. I'm here to spread his word, his thoughts. I'm here to talk about the things that he want to talk about. So that's how you're going to be. Like I said, move like them crazy cat ladies move. They don't care. They don't have no shame in their game. They really don't. They're going to talk to you about them cats, period, what their cat sweater on. They don't care because they love cats. And that's how we got to be. We love Christ. So we should never be ashamed of the gospel or never be afraid to say the name Jesus because the world ain't afraid to say the things that they are a part of. And it's shameful stuff. And they have absolutely no shame. So I see you just being very bold and very, very known for what you bring and who you bring, who you belong to, like where people are going to know it and getting a reputation for it. Not a bad one, right? Not known as a crazy cat lady, but I'm just saying God will give me an idea, a concept, because he knows the way I look at it, just so that I can illustrate it better to you. So I just see you being very well known for it, where they know it. And some people will be repelled by that, but a lot of people are going to flock to you because of it, you know. I've told the story on the show before, but when 9/11 hit, my mother's birthday was on 9/11. And so that day I wasn't listening to the radio, nothing. I remember I was planning what I was going to do for her birthday, my whole drive to work. So I didn't know about the Twin Towers being hit. I didn't know about none of that because I had my mom's birthday on my mind. And so when I went into work, I went upstairs and this group of people, Tanisha, you got to pray. These are people who had not talked to me about prayer before. Some of them had, but not all of them. But they knew that I was a believer. They knew because I would talk about Jesus. I talk about praying. And, you know, people bring problems to me. I tell them I'm going to pray for them, all that kind of stuff. So I had a reputation of that. So when they saw a bad situation going on in the world, they knew to come to me. So that's how you're going to be. Where some people are going to be repelled by it, and that's not your problem, but a lot of people are going to be drawn to you because when the going gets tough, they're going to come running to you because they're going to be looking for answers and they're going to know she's talking that Jesus stuff. Let me go talk to her so that you can explain and introduce them to Christ, so that you can give them hope, so that you can pray for them, so that you can, you know, tell them the truth. So, Lord, we just thank you for Karen. We thank you for her light, Father God, shining very bright, like a lighthouse in the middle of the sea, providing light and direction and guidance for people. And where people are going to know, they're going to know you because they know her. They're going to see you in her. They're going to associate you with her. So I thank you, Lord, for using her as a draw to you, to draw people to you, to draw people to the cross. Let that be done in Jesus' name, and just protect her reputation, Father God, protect your finances and everything in Jesus' name. Amen. You got anything? All right. Let's go to the next caller. 954-580. Who are we speaking with?
Hello. Good evening. This is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn. How are you?
How are you both?
Good to see you a little bit. Well, glad you called in tonight. Let's pray for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Carolyn, Lord. We just thank you for the continued and renewed strength. Your word says that we shall renew our strength. It says we'll walk and not faint. Let me get that scripture. If my phone would stop. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 40:31. Let's go there. Make it out of the New Testament. Okay, here we go. Isaiah 40:31. But those, I'm reading it out of the Amplified. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Let's read that out of the NIV. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's what I see with you, Carolyn. Like, you really just, that hope that you have in the Lord, right? Because there's all sorts of things we could put our hope in. I know. but when you put your hope in the Lord in every situation, you're going to renew your strength. Because we get tired. We're people. We get tired. We get tired of waiting on things. We get tired of people doing the wrong things. We get tired of being lied on. We get tired of feeling like we're not making enough. We get tired of our job. There's all sorts of things that get tired. So we need renewed strength. But when we put our hope in the Lord in that situation, then he will renew our strength. Then we're going to soar on wings like eagles. We're going to run and not grow weary, right? Because it says that we it's a race. Right, our salvation, our faith is a race. So we'll run and not even grow weary. We keep running our race and not grow weary. Right, we'll walk and not faint. So whether you walking or running, you moving, and you don't have to worry about growing weary or faint. You're gonna have your strength renewed as long as you put your hope in the Lord, not in nothing else. In every area, that's where you put your hope in the Lord. Your finances, your job, court cases, people, it doesn't matter what it is. Your health, yep, relationships, put your hope in the Lord. Not people, systems, all that kind of stuff. Put your hope in the Lord. And that's how you get the renewed strength, because we will get tired. That's just part of life. Show me a person who says they don't ever get tired, and I'm going to show you a person that's not human. I don't know what they are. AI with skin on top of it. Because people get tired. We need our strength renewed. But that's the key, is putting the hope in the Lord. Then we can soar on wings like eagles. Study eagle wings. There's a reason he put that in there. So, Lord, we thank you for Carolyn. We thank you for the strength, Father God. We thank you for her putting her hope in you in every area of her life. In every area, reveal, shed light, illuminate the areas that maybe she's not putting her hope in you. She's putting her hope in something else. Sometimes we're doing that and we don't realize it. Sometimes we put our hope in our skills, our connections, our time that we've, you know, invested or whatever the case may be. There's all sorts of reasons why we might put hope in things. But show her how to transfer that and put her hope in you so that she has the strength that she needs, so that she can soar, so that she can run, not grow weary, and she can walk and not faint. So thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You got anything? All right. Let's go. Okay. That works for me. 610-969.
Shalom.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Lisa.
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Great.
Yes, we're doing good.
That's good. Say that again. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Lisa, Lord. We thank you for her, for the walking into. It's like when the children of Israel came into the promised land. They've been hearing about it. And as we know the history, there was a little roughness during the journey. There were some things to learn. There were some people that had to cut off and die off. But they enter into. And I see you entering into. You know, when we... God will give us a word, right? We'd be all excited. We'd be all on fire, like, yes. And then life happens. We experience things. And we could be almost right there, and then we'd be like, yeah. Because we get, you know, we've experienced some things. And sometimes it feels like, okay, is that word going to come to pass? Or, like, what's happening here? But... Excuse me. I see you entering into, like you're entering now. You're entering into the promises, and you might be entering into with your left leg dragging, but you're still entering into you because you're still hoping and believing, and you're still like this word I just gave for Carolyn. Like your strength and your hope is renewed. You're not weary. Right? Let's read that scripture again. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So it's like you're walking into, like at first you were running. Now you're walking, but you're still not going to grow faint. You're coming into. It's like a season of like coming into, like finally. Finally. Some of these promises are very old and human. Timeline. To God, they're not old, but to you know, he lives in the eternal realm, but to us, we're like, I've been waiting on that for 15 years. But it's time. And the timing, we trust God's timing. He knows what we need to be able to properly handle what he has for us. Sometimes we do have to go through those things to develop and grow and to have different perspective. He has his reasons. But you're coming in two. You're coming in two. Like you're walking into that promised land, those promises. So Lord, we thank you for Lisa. We thank you, Father God, that she's coming into the promises. We thank you for her being an example and a light for her family and those around her. And we thank you, Lord, for her providing hope to people to just keep believing, to not give up, on you, Lord. Because some people do give up on you. Some people give up on God. Even though he never gives up on us. But Lord, use Lisa to teach people not to give up on you, not to give up on God, that when what he says he's going to do, he will do it. He'll show up when he needs to show up, not when you want him to. He'll do what he says he's going to do in his timing, not our timing. and use her to be that mouthpiece to teach people that and let them trust that. And that way they can be okay with what's going on in their life. They will be open to it. They won't be trying to dodge or duck the correction or the experiences, that they will welcome it because they know that it's what's necessary and needed to get to where you have already promised them that they are going. So I just thank you, Lord, for using Lisa to shift people's mentality, the way they handle life, the way they handle life. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I could go on and on about that, but I'll save that for another day. All right. Next caller is 251-229.
Yeah, okay. Hello, Prophetess Terrence and Tanisha. How are y'all?
We're doing good. How are you tonight?
Blessed and highly favored. And so are you.
Amen. I received that.
Thank you.
Yes, let's pray for you.
Okay.
Well, we just thank you for Sarah. Father God, we thank you for being seen, being noticed. God rewards you openly.
Mm.
He says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And when he rewards you openly because he wants your enemies to see how good of a God he is. He wants people to know how well he takes care of what's his. And he rewards you openly, especially when you are not afraid to boast in the Lord, to tell of his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So get ready to be rewarded openly to where when people ask, it was nothing but God. Because even with you, you'd be like, it was nobody but God. You knew it was nothing that you could have done, anything. That's the type of situation that's going to occur, a thing that's going to happen. Something you ain't thinking about, ain't even thought about. But the Lord already had things in motion. It's just about us lining up and just trusting him fully and being developed, properly prepared for what he has for us. A lot of us, we want things right now because it's on our mind. But we have to prepare for the things that we claim we want. You know, you can say you want something all day. Like, I want 100 acres of land. I want to build this big, beautiful home and have this, that, and that. And that's fine. But who going to take care of it?
Mm-hmm.
You get 100 acres, who going to make sure that land? Do you know anything about taking care of land? Do you have any connections on taking care of land? You know, you want it, but make sure that what you want is lined up with what God wants for you. Because what God wants for you, he provides everything for it. And he gives you that desire to begin to have it and then begin to take the necessary steps. Like you start building confidence for what God has for you, especially if it's something you ain't never seen before, never even really imagined. And you start like seeing it and you start believing like, yeah, I can have it, you know, because when you start gaining knowledge and things and you begin to see what all goes into certain things, it's either going to drive you from it or it's going to drive you to it. So I just thank God for openly rewarding you during the season. So just be prepared. I mean, you being prepared now. Just be ready for what God has. That's what I got, Sarah, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Next is, hold on. Who are we speaking with?
This is Destia from Canada.
Hey, Destia.
Hey,
how are you tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Great.
Let's pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for Dusty, Lord. We thank you for just the ignition, like an ignition switch, like with a car, an ignition switch turns on the whole car. I see God giving you the power that you need to turn things on, right, to get things going. Because you can have all intentions of going somewhere. You get in the car, you have the keys, your tank is filled up with gas, but in order for you to go, you have to turn on the ignition switch, whether you have a push start or you actually put a key in and turn it. But the ignition switch has to be ignited in order for you to go. So it doesn't matter what the plan is. Without that ignition switch, you ain't going nowhere. And I see the Lord turning on the ignition switch of things in your life. So you're it's like you've been behind the wheel and you're like, okay, I got the gas in the tank. I'm here. I got my seatbelt on. Why am I not going? But it's a timing thing. Now God is turning it on. Now you could go. Now all the other things, you already know what to do. You know how to hit the gas to go. You know how to use a steering wheel. You know how to use your lights and hazards and your blinkers and all that. So it's almost like you've been being prepared how to drive, but you just did not have the ignition switch turned on. But now he's going to do it. So now you can go where you need to go. But that was the key. But it was a timing thing. You know, we got to trust God's timing. Sometimes we feel like we're trying to figure it out. We waste time trying to figure out, well, why am I not there now? What's going on? Just trust God. Trust his timing. He knows what's best. He knows what you need. He knows what you need to do. He knows what you need, how areas you need to develop. He knows what people need to get away from you. He knows what people need to come to you. Like, he knows everything. So that's what I see. It's like the ignition switch is finally turning on. Now you could go. So it's go time. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for Dastia having go time and just protect his and the will that you have for his life, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's good. 734-672, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Jennifer from Michigan.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good.
Very
great. Let's pray for you. Lord, we thank you for Jennifer. We thank you for her the protection realm, the generosity realm. It's like what I was talking about earlier in the show about when you're generous to people, you basically will reap generosity. I see people really being generous towards you, like you really entering into a season of generosity for your generosity because you've been generous towards people, like you really reaping generosity in just ways that you can't even imagine. You know, you might want to go buy a new car or something. They knock off half the price and give you all the upgrades for free. That's generous. You know, you go to the store and somebody say, oh, they paid your bill. That's generous. There's just so many ways that people can be generous, but I see you really entering into a season of generosity towards you, people being generous. You, of course, in turn, being generous towards others become the cycle, right? Because God sets us up in good ways. When we're generous and then people are generous towards us and then we have even more to be generous with, so we're even more generous and then people are even more generous towards us. This is the cycle that we want. You know, some people get caught up in vicious cycles that are not good, but God sets us up for good cycles. But that's what I see, Jennifer, you really entering into a season of generosity where people are going to just be generous towards you. Sometimes you won't even know until after the fact where they're like, oh, they did that because they're not supposed to. Or, oh, wow, that doesn't normally come with it. Or, you know what I mean? Like where you don't even realize, you know, at some point that what they did was generous until later on. So you're going to just see that where God likes, see, I'm showing you how I work, showing you how I move. So you keep moving the way you move. Keep watering, keep being generous because it's going to come back. It's going to come back and you're entering into a generous season. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Jennifer and her life. We thank you for sending people to be generous, to love on her, to bless her, and that she in turn is a blessing to others. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we have one more, we're out of time, but I think we can still get them. 608-920.
Hey, Shane.
Hey, Shannon. How are you tonight?
Just leaving the gym. Good.
Leaving the gym? Okay. Yeah, get that workout. Let's pray for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Lord, we thank you for Shannon, Father God. We thank you for the love of his life. Mm-hmm. him understanding you are really the love of his life, but you also bringing a human love of his life. And we thank you, Lord, that you that he's just going to be the best of everything to his spouse, best friend, provider, the best listener, the best of everything. That it's going to be something that you put together. It's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be where they're best friends, they're really best friends, and grow on a friendship and a mutual love and admiration for one another, and really seeking the best for one another. But to thank you that you bless him in every area, bless him in the mental realm of just him trusting you, putting his mind, his thoughts, everything towards you and what you have for his life, the will that you have for him, that he can just rest easy and know that you have a mate for him. You have a mate for him. And she's going to be the best of everything to him, and he's going to be the best of everything for her. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's everybody. We're out of time. A few of you still want to call back to Randy at 8:45. Hit one, get in the queue. Until next time, we love you all. Good night.
Good night.